This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
Good evening. Welcome to the Crystal Palace Fan Show on Love Sport Radio. Palace fans, get in touch. 0208 70 2558 is our number. Anything that you want to talk about Crystal Palace, we will take your calls. You can call us, you can WhatsApp us, or get us on Twitter at Love Sport Radio. Talk us through transfers. There were no games over the weekend, so we've got lots of transfer chat to go through over the next hour. We'll be previewing the game at the weekend against Sheffield United. We've got Dave Bassett, former Crystal Palace and Sheffield United manager, on the phone later to talk about that as well. Of course, I'll be giving you an updates on the League Cup semi-final. Manchester City drawing 0-0 at the moment with Man United in that second leg. City currently leading 3-1 on aggregate going into this. Anyway, my name is Miles Blumsom. I'm joined by DR Kernaz and Nick Gillard of the Back of the Nest podcast. Guys, welcome to the show. Welcome back after a week. It's been a week of no football for Palace.
Yes, a good week. I mean, we're coming here not upset for once, and slightly looking forward to it now, the Sheffield United game after this week off.
Sometimes you're happy coming in. I mean, yeah, if we'd have had a show straight after the tour against Man City, we'd have been very happy. It just so happened that Palace had to host Southampton in between those shows as well.
You had to remind us then.
No, we'd forgotten all about that. I'm really happy. My son has finally beaten cancer. All clear on Friday. And, yeah, I'm buzzing, so...
That's excellent. I'm ecstatic. Well, our thoughts go out to you. Yeah. Thank you very much for letting us all know. That's brilliant, actually. So that means that you're back as well.
Back
we've
properly,
missed you.
Yeah, yeah.
Back in. So let's start with some of the transfer news, because it's squeaky bum time in the transfer window at the moment. 2 days to go. Deals that are going to get done need to get done now. But what we're seeing is Patrick Van Aanholt linked with a move away.
Yeah, it's a bit of a weird one, because up until basically last week, there was no signs of Patrick Van Aanholt leaving a club. And then all of a sudden, recently, there's been rumours suggesting that PSV are interested in Van Aanholt for around £4.2 million. And it's a bit of a weird one, because some of the fan base, it seems like, wouldn't mind it happening, as they haven't been happy with his defensive performances. But some are saying, like me, what's the point of selling a left-back when you need a left-back and we're already struggling as it is?
Well, Riedewald's got player of the month.
Yeah.
So
yep,
there is that little bit of leeway, but it only takes an injury and then you're really, really short.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, once Riedewald is injured, then who else fits in left-back? I mean, maybe Jeffrey Schlupp, but he hasn't really played left-back under Hodgson. So I wouldn't sell him. And I mean, there is a positive news in a way today. The fact that PSV actually managed to go and get Ricardo Rodriguez is another left-back. So it seems like they might not go for Van Aanholt after all.
It depends where they want to play Van Aanholt, because if they want an attacking player, they have also just sold Stephen Bervin to Tottenham. So there are spots in that squad available.
Is that, yeah, I understand what you're saying. Maybe, I don't know how much it would go for, but £4.2 million is a bit too cheap for me. I mean, you have to send it for at least 10 to 15 million if this late on in the window as well. It seems like another player that we were linked with was Jamal Lewis, but that seems like it's not happening. So if we don't bring in another left back and then you sell Van Aanholt, we've seen what happens with depth problems at right back, especially with Kelly. I mean, you can't play players out of position. So right now, I wouldn't sell him unless a good offer comes in.
Nick, do you think it's time for Patrick Van Aanholt to leave Palace?
No way. No, with other players potentially coming in, looking at the players coming back, we want the squad to stay strong. I don't know what the finances are like, but and what kind of wages he's on. I did see a photo of a tweet that he'd sent in reply to somebody else saying there's no way he's leaving, but it didn't have a blue tick next to his name, so I'm not sure whether
there's lots of photoshops flying about. I mean, is that time of the month where players are apparently DMing people with 10 followers and saying I'm not leaving a club? But that was Photoshop. He did come out and say that. But an interesting thing is he's got 18 months left in his contract. So, I mean, in the summer, I guess if he signs a new contract, then it's all fine. But if he doesn't, then you might have to look at offers potentially, because you don't want to leave want him to leave for free as well.
But you've got to look at it. The longer he holds on, the more money he himself is going to get. And his agent's going to be saying, hang on, hang on, hang on.
That's him. But Palace-wise, you look at Palace-wise, the longer that he doesn't sign a new contract, then the less money that we're going to get.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
And but in saying that, in the meantime, you want him through to the end of the season.
Yeah, right now. I mean, we haven't got another left back in, so keep him in at the club till the end of the season at least.
Maybe not enough time as well. A player that has been linked with coming in, and I loved, by the way, your tweet back to the West Brom tweets about Nathan Ferguson at the back of the Nest podcast. I saw you salty much, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So Nathan Ferguson's been linked to join Palace. It's going to be around $4 million, the deal. Some of the tweets coming out of West Brom were just, get rid of him, his head's been turned, we don't want him at the club if he doesn't want to be here. What do you think about this?
Before we came on air, I spoke to a good friend of mine, Baggies fan. He's been going for 60 years. He is gutted. He is as gutted as we were when Wan-Bissaka left. He can play anywhere across the back. When Bilic went into West Brom, the first thing he said is, why isn't this man playing? Apparently he was absolutely fantastic, scored a couple of goals. Then he got a red card for a really, really, really late challenge. And he hasn't been as good since then. Now, my mate says it might be because he's been linked with Juventus before. He's been linked with other teams. He can do anything, apparently. Two-footed, passing, beating players, tackling players. And he's quite mouthy as well, which we could do with at Palace. I don't know whether he means mouthy in a positive or negative way.
Most importantly, 19 years old. We've been talking about how we have an aging squad, so getting him in the club, a player that seems like he has got talent, is good. And as you said, he's good at tackling, he's good at passing. And I'm more excited about this transfer happening than the likes of Kyle Walker-Peters, in all honesty.
Is it a worry that he might try and use Palace as a stepping stone to the top, top clubs, that top 5-6?
Well, I guess
it's Palace. That happens to us quite often. And, you know, fans were talking about Europe after we drew with Man City. And I said, no, don't, because it's just going to go terribly, terribly wrong like it did last. We beat Chelsea a couple of years ago. Well, 3 or 4 years ago, we beat Chelsea. Pardew mentioned Europe and we just about barely stayed up that season. It all depends. If we can not have any more performances like we had against Southampton, then possibly he'll want to stay with us. I know Vicente Guaita's been watching the under-23s. You know, what player does that? He's been linked with Man City. He loves the club. He must love the vibe around the club. So
yeah, it's a London club as well, so I feel like that helps.
Well, the latest reports that I'm seeing on Nathan Ferguson is that he's having his medical.
Yeah.
£10 million move. We've mentioned about left-backs leaving. He is someone who can cover across the back four. Do you see him going straight in at centre-back, or could he start as a left-back or right-back?
I don't see him playing as a centre-back. I would be worried because he hasn't got the height, personally. I don't think he has. And I see him starting at right-back predominantly. But, I mean, if Van Aanholt's staying at the club, then I guess the left-back position is Riederwald and Van Aanholt. So, yeah, I could see him as a right-back. But I don't know if he would start straight away. It's a bit of a weird one. Would Roy Hodgson put a 19-year-old... we've seen with him, he hasn't given youngsters many chances before. So would you put a 19-year-old straight away into the starting lineup? I'm not too sure, but he should. He really should, because he seems like he's a good player. So I don't think, and he has first team experience, so I don't think that we should be waiting too long before he actually plays first team football.
I think Joel Ward will start, and I think he'll actually up his game a little bit because of this new young bright star coming in. So hopefully, pushing for positions, these players are going to really have to fight to stay in the team. So I think if he doesn't start, we'll see a good performance from Wardy.
Another young right-back being linked last minute is Tariq Lamptey from Chelsea, actually. So he came on against Arsenal. I didn't get to watch that game, but I had friends who were at the game who said that Tariq Lamptey was fantastic when he came on. £6 million is a bargain for a young player, a young English player as well at this point. We talked about all of a sudden having a lack of right-backs. All of a sudden, it looks like we're linked with everyone under the sun.
Yeah, I mean, it's typical Palace, ain't it? There's only like 2 days left of the transfer window and now we're linked with everyone, and it was all quiet during the actual early days of the window. I mean, he did look like a good player when he did come on against Arsenal for Chelsea, but I guess he might be a backup option to Nathan Ferguson. I don't see us signing another fullback if Ferguson does come in. But yeah, I mean, if Ferguson is at the club, then I wouldn't look too much into it personally.
You have to go up against Brighton for Tariq Lamptey. You don't want to lose out to Brighton in a transfer.
Brighton, the interesting thing about Brighton, the report came out suggesting that they actually they haven't had the greatest financial year, so...
Yeah. We'll find out. let's talk about Yannick Carrasco, because this, when the report came out, was almost... Wow, because he's playing over in China at the moment. China have bought in the salary cap, so all the stars in China are going, hold on a minute, I don't want to only earn 50 grand a week. I've been earning 300, 400 grand a week. Let's go and at least get Premier League money. So Yannick Carrasco, it's gone a little bit quiet recently, but a few days ago it was hotting up. I saw the tweets, I saw the videos saying him on one side, Zaha on the other, all of a sudden Palace are one of the most attackingly potent teams in the league. Do you know what's going on with this at the moment?
It seems like there's difficulties in terms of getting a deal with Chinese club Dalian, because Carrasco, first and foremost, he's on 180,000 a week, 160,000 a week, which Palace can't afford that.
Yeah, but the thing is, he's not going to be on that for long because of the salary cap, so he's going to have to leave, and I think he's going to have to accept a pay cut.
Yeah, I think Palace are willing to offer around 60% of that, so I'm not too sure. It seems like, from even when the report first came out of Carrasco being linked, everyone was saying how this club, Dalian, they are hard to play with. I mean, they're going to be hard negotiators. So if it happens, it's happening on deadline day. I don't see it happening tonight or tomorrow. It's one of them deadline day moves, and it could be similar to what we saw against Batshuayi. It'll be a fantastic move, though. Honestly, if we get Carrasco, not Zaha's replacement, but maybe if he's a player that he was at Atletico Madrid, and if Zaha leaves in the summer, maybe that would be a good replacement. So overall, it would be nice if you do get him.
And it would be a bit more like when Palace had Zaha on one side and Bolasie on the other, another Yannick. Yeah. That would be harking back to those, some of those flicks and tricks. Nick, what do you think about Carrasco? Do you think he's a bit too good to be true?
Yeah, he's one of those, I'll believe it if I see it. I mean, I'm noting that he's from Belgium. I don't know why, I've got FIFA chemistry in my mind, and will he supply the balls in for Benteke to score some goals?
I'm not sure that's how it works in the real world.
I know.
But we need creative players, and he's a creative player, so...
We're going to keep going on transfer rumours up next. In the League Cup semi-final, still 0-0, Man United with a free kick in a dangerous area. Lingard and Fred standing over it. For Man United fans, do you remember the time when you'd have Beckham and Giggs standing over those? Ooh, Lingard and Fred, not quite as good, as Fred whips it in, and it is, there's going to be a penalty shout, but I doubt they'll get it. Still 0-0 in that, 3-1 on aggregate to Manchester City, and a reminder that the World Indoor Athletic Championships has been cancelled because of the outbreak of coronavirus in China. We've had some reports through of that. Just coming up to 8:15, this is Love Sport London.
We've all got one, and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter, or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station.
Love Sport London, this is the Crystal Palace Fan Show. Miles Blumsom here, joined by the Back of the Nest podcast team, DR Kernaz and Nick Gillard. We've been talking about some of the incomings and potential incomings for Palace in this window. We've got 2 days left of the January transfer window, but we're seeing a potential loan signing out of the club. Nia Kirby is being linked with Fleetwood. Now, DR, you think this is good news, right?
Yes, we need... I said it last week with Sam Woods as well. We need these players out there playing first-team football. It doesn't make any sense for these players to actually stay at Palace because they're not getting any opportunities. We've seen it with the injury crisis, yet Nia Kirby still didn't play. I know he made a couple of appearances on the bench, but that's just not good enough, really. And if he would move to Fleetwood, I guess that would be positive in a way, because he would actually get that game time and help his development.
Do you think... Because there's an argument for it's a different style of football away from the club, so he's not being ingrained in the way that the club wants to play football. Do you think there's an argument that sometimes it can be a negative thing?
I think if you look at how we play football right now, it isn't really hard to play the type of football Roy demands. So I guess if it was another manager, like let's say likes of Chris Wilder at Sheffield United, then maybe stay at the club, learn the system. But we haven't really got a system. It's basic. It's defending and counter attack. So I don't think he will lose out much. He's an attacking player, and if he goes out on Fleetwood and gets the opportunity to have that creative role, because he is a good footballer, he has played for England, for the England youth sides. If he gets that freedom and plays, then I think it'll be good for him.
Now, Nick, when players go out on loan, it can be the making or breaking of them? Because a lot of players go on a lot of loan moves and never make it at the top. They sometimes may, I don't know if their confidence gets knocked or they realise where they actually are in their development. Do you see this as a positive thing for the kid?
It's got to be, really, because you want to be playing first-team football. I really rue, and you're probably too young to remember this, but there used to be a league called the Ovenden Combination. And it was basically...
Well, yeah, I don't remember, no.
They had the results in the papers, but it was a reserve league.
Yeah.
So it was almost as competitive, because they were all players on the cusp. It wasn't the under-23s with three or four sort of senior players that could play. So they'd learn the style together. But you're talking about Roy... And learning a club style. Are there many clubs that do that all the way through now, from the youth system all the way up to the first team? I know they do it at Man City. And it does make you wonder, what if the manager goes, you get a new manager and you've got the whole setup has to change their style?
I guess that's the problem with the way that teams go through managers these days. It's hard to implement a club style when a new manager could bring a completely new style. You look at Watford this season, they were trying to play this expansive football. Nigel Pearson comes in, completely changes the way the team plays. So I guess, yeah, first team football must be the most important thing. Are there any other young players that you want to see going out, DR?
Well, possibly Tyrique Mitchell. I mean, he looked good in pre-season, but he got injured and hasn't really had an opportunity since then. There's Luke Dreja. He seems like a good player in midfield, but he isn't getting... I think all youngsters, really, whoever's in an under-23 side, I think they would want to go, because there's a difference between just waiting and waiting for your opportunity and being realistic about it. If we're being real about the situation, these players know that they're not going to get opportunities with Roy.
Another player that's been linked with a move to Palace is World Cup winner, Fenerbahce centre-back Adil Rami. Apparently Palace are considering making an offer. Adil Rami, known for his weird moustache, and of course previously dating Pamela Anderson. If they can get that back on, Pamela Anderson down at Selhurst Park, I don't know how many of the guys will be watching the football if she's down there.
Luckily enough, I've seen Adil Rami because I do follow Fenerbahce.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't seen much of him because he's only made 5 appearances, but when he has played, I haven't seen a player that out of pace in the Turkish league. And honestly, if he comes to Palace, he doesn't fit in. He just doesn't fit in. He's just looks so slow. And I don't know, maybe a different environment might help him, but it's not even tactics, it was just him. He didn't look the man.
He's living that celebrity lifestyle, I think. But he was a good player. He's in a World Cup winning France squad.
Yeah, but how much would he want as well if he joins Palace? Right now, we don't need centre-backs. If Scott Dan leaves, this is how I see it. If Scott Dan leaves maybe on deadline day, then you might want another replacement just to make sure that you've got enough numbers. But if he doesn't leave and getting Rami... Right now, we're already struggling as it is to spend money, so there's no point of spending useless money.
If he's off the pace and he's only going to be a backup, what's the point? If he's not very good, and no disrespect to the Turkish league, but, you know, Sorloth's doing so well out there.
And yeah.
And he's had extension on his loan, hasn't he, Sorloth?
I'm not too sure about that, but
I'm sure I read that in the week. But, if you know, we need players that are going to be able to come straight in and do the job straight away. And if you're saying he's off the pace, in an off-the-pace league, it's pointless.
It's hard. It's not going to work the other way around, where all of a sudden he's on the pace in the Premier League. Just to let you know, in the League Cup semi-final second leg, Manchester United have gone 1-0 up on the day, which means they've clawed the aggregate back to 3-2. Still need 2 goals to go through. I believe that the away goals rule is still in place in the Carabao Cup. So Man United is still going to need 2 more goals. But after 35 minutes, being 1-0 up is a very good start. Now, some interesting rumours coming out of Crystal Palace. Roy Hodgson potentially walking away over a lack of transfer activity. What do you make of this?
I've been calling for this since the summer, or near enough, maybe towards December. I wouldn't be surprised. I don't blame Roy Hodgson as well, because you look at where we are right now in the league. These owners need to back Roy Hodgson. He's delivered what they want so far. We need to stay up in the league, and that's what they want. And he has provided that, yet we haven't backed him enough. And he has been calling for players since the summer. Even he come out publicly and criticised the American owners. Roy is frustrated. I don't think Palace fans should be surprised if Roy walks away. I've been seeing this coming for a very long time. There was potential contract extension talks in December. Nothing happened. I mean, I don't blame Roy if he walks away, but I'm actually genuinely worried.
You've got to look at the history of what other managers have done. Pulis left. We can only surmise that it was because he wasn't getting backed. Allardyce left. We can only surmise that he wasn't getting the backing that he wanted in the transfer window. Okay, they said it was for other reasons, maybe. I mean, you can tell Roy's really fed up because he called Steve Parrish Stephen.
Yeah, Doug Friedman, Doug.
There's a lot of ire on social media about the American owners and how much they want to be involved. Do they want to be out? Do they want to be investing if they want to be leaving? It's, you know, I imagine it's the same at a lot of clubs. But
Nick, do you think Roy's got a leg to stand? Do you think he's got a point here in maybe potentially leaving over something like this? He's an older manager who, you know, Palace almost gave him a lifeline after the England job. Yeah. Do you think he's right to be considering leaving?
Yes, but I don't know. Would he go on to another club afterwards if he did? I do think that we're going to be his last club. I think he'd like to stay on one more season. You've got to remember, though, Steve Parish has also said in the past that 99.99% of what you read in the press is absolute rubbish. But, and he reads stuff and he can't believe that it's actually true.
But it makes sense, though, honestly. I don't think this is rubbish. Roy, a manager isn't going to come out and call the owner so many times and say publicly that he needs players this many times and without thinking about his future. He should be thinking about his future. If I was him, I'd be thinking about it. But what I'm worried about, I've come here and I've criticised Roy's tactics at times, but I still feel like he's the best man to lead us forward right now, because if he does leave and we still got American owners, then I am genuinely so worried, because right now he's not getting the back in. So a new manager comes in, and if we can't back him, then God knows where we would be.
And it's not good enough that they managed to keep hold of Wilfried Zaha?
I don't know. I don't think so. I just feel like you have to go and please the manager. Especially if he is providing you the results, which Roy has been. I know his football is boring at times, but forget about that. That's as fans. That's how we see it. Results matter for the owners the most if he's staying in the Premier League. And he has provided that. So go out there and back him. Right now, even though we're talking about Nathan Ferguson, we're on the 29th of January, a couple of days before deadline day, and now we're only getting a right back. We need the one in the summer. So what is taking so long to go and get these players for Roy Hodgson?
Looks like you missed out on Kyle Walker-Peters as well from Spurs. Looks like he's going to Southampton. It's a £15 million price tag, but in this day and age, that's not a lot of money.
And Roy Hodgson actually did come out and say that Kyle Walker-Peters seems close, and he looked like a fool once again, because it seems like he's going to Southampton. I know we're getting another right back, but it seems like broken promises in the background, honestly, because he has come out and he has said, I need players. And Roy Hodgson seems like the man who wouldn't do that unless it's necessary. And some of the words and some of the suggestions seems that he's not happy. And don't be surprised if he leaves. Honestly, I believe this report.
Just quickly on Wilfried Zaha. I think this is the first transfer window I can remember for a long time where there has been no whispers really about him actually leaving. Apart from us speculating, is he going to go? I've not seen anything concrete.
It's because he hasn't been playing that well. You know, we value him at 80 million or whatever, and I think he's only worth 80 million to us. Who have Everton just signed or looked like signing for a lot of money or selling?
They look like selling Richarlison for 80 mil for Barcelona. They've rejected that bid.
And hopefully Everton fans now understand where Palace fans are coming from when we say Zaha's worth this much to us, because it's different. Richarlison is younger than Zaha, of course. But I think we have to look at it in the summer. I could see Zaha leaving in the summer. I feel like that's the right time for Zaha in the summer. For around 50, 60 million, I could see it happening, because he's turning 28 soon. So his value is only going to go down. And yeah,
Richarlison, actually the bid was 85 million that's been rejected from Barcelona to Everton. Richarlison for me has a bigger upside than Zaha for longer term. He's, I would potentially say, not far off being as good as Zaha already, especially this season. Richarlison scored some very important goals.
Yeah, you should look at the clubs and the players instead of saying Richarlison, he's worth, let's say Hazard, he got sold for around 80 million for example. Richarlison should be worth less. It shouldn't work like that. Richarlison is worth more than 85 million for Everton, so I understand it. However, you look at social media and other fans, they're saying, oh wait, they just rejected the 85 million bid. I see it. I understand why they rejected it. It's because he is worth more than that to Everton.
Can you see a situation where his contract runs down?
What, Zaha?
Yeah.
No, I feel like it's just too long, his contract. Yeah, I don't see it happening.
He'll go. People will come in and pay the amount of money that Crystal Palace are looking for him by the time that happens.
Yeah, I think his value will decrease over time, over the years.
Palace fans, what do you think? 0208 70 20 558 is our number. You can give us a call or you can get us on WhatsApp. Get your opinion on the radio. at Love Sport Radio on Twitter. It looks like Manchester City, oh, it's just been ruled out for offside. It looked like Raheem Sterling had scored for Man City to equal it on the day, but it's been ruled out for offside. On for West Ham, in the West Ham-Liverpool game in the Premier League, of course, Liverpool have taken the lead at the London Stadium. Mo Salah with a penalty there. We're just coming up to 29 minutes past eight. Up next, we're going to preview the Sheffield United game, a massive game this weekend for Crystal Palace. Sheffield United have such a good away record in the Premier League. It's going to be a really, really tough game. But Crystal Palace and Sheffield United, they're fighting around the same sort of area in the league. 0208 7020 558 is a number of, to call. What do you think is going to happen? Miles Blumsome here for the Crystal Palace Fan Show.
For the fans, by the fans. Love Sport Radio.
This is Love Sport Radio. Welcome to the Crystal Palace Fan Show. For the rest of the UK, we've been on Love Sport London for the last half hour. Now we are linked up across the United Kingdom. My name is Miles Blumsome, joined by the guys from the Pack of the Nest podcast, DR Kernaz and Nick Gillard, talking all things Crystal Palace. Just in the League Cup semi-final going on at the moment, Manchester City 0, Manchester United 1, making it 3-2 to City on aggregate. United are still going to need two more goals to progress. And in the Premier League, Liverpool are beating West Ham at the London Stadium 1-0. Mo Salah penalty, the difference between the sides as we head towards half-time. 0208 7020 558 is our number. Palace fans, get in touch. Let us know what you want to say about Crystal Palace, about the transfer dealings, maybe about the Sheffield United game this weekend. You can call us or WhatsApp us, 0208 7020 558, or get us on Twitter. Someone who has called that number is Keith from Purley. Keith, welcome to the Crystal Palace Fan Show. How are you today?
Yeah, I'm fine, thanks. Yeah, I've been listening to the earlier part of the programme. I went to the under-23 game this afternoon and I heard you talking about Kirby and a few others that could go out on loan.
Yeah.
Basically, you probably know the result. We lost 3-2 after being 2-0 up. I thought we looked a very poor side. I've seen a number of under-23 games this season and there is nobody that's anywhere near Premier League standard, let alone probably the Championship as well. I was expecting to see the guy that they signed from Scotland in the team today, but whether he's
Scott Banks
still hasn't come back down here again yet, I don't know. But there was nobody, they were all youngsters, there was nobody that was coming back from injury that was given a run out. It was basically just the youngsters. So there's certainly nothing much there, really, to bring up into the first team at the moment.
Do you think loan moves will benefit these young players then?
I think Kirby's the only one probably out of the team that's been talked about. There was talk that he was going to go to Fleetwood, but I haven't seen any more about that. But I'm, like a lot of people, more interested to see what's going on in the transfer window at the moment. Is there any confirmation that we've signed Ferguson yet?
Not yet. He's having his medical is the last that we've seen. So it's looking very positive, though.
All right, that's good. Because, I obviously heard your comments that Roy wasn't happy. I think I read that in one of the papers this morning, that he's not happy with what's gone in the transfer window. I suppose the only positive we've had so far in January is that we actually signed Tossum in about the second week of the window, which is something really new for Palace.
Yeah, indeed.
But I mean, I don't know whether you guys have heard it tonight, but I saw it on one of the message boards and I spoke to try to get confirmation that apparently Tossum is out injured and could be out for 3 or 4 weeks. I don't know whether anybody's heard that tonight.
I haven't heard anything about that yet, but just going quickly back to Roy Hodgson, do you think that he could actually potentially leave? Do you believe these rumours, and would you really blame him if he does?
No, I wouldn't blame him, because I just don't think he's had the support. And I think because where we're sitting in the table, I think Parrish obviously thinks that he can probably keep us up without having to do a lot in the transfer market in January. But I think we all know that we need players, and I think if we get many more performances like we did against Southampton, then, we're still going to be probably in serious trouble, because that was, you know, I think everybody said that was probably one of the worst performances we've seen under Hodgson.
You're saying, Steve Parrish, how much of that is the Americans saying, hold back the cash, hold back the cash? Because, you know, we haven't spoken about it for a while, but there's that main stand that's going to be built to be considered as well. You know, how much of that is playing on, you know, how much money we're spending.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know what... I don't think anybody really knows what's happening about the Americans at the moment. Nobody seems to come in... You know, Parrish doesn't seem to come out and obviously say much, but I'm sure if we make a few signings between now and Friday, he'll be the first one to go on Twitter and say, you know, what we've done. We only seem to hear much from him is when there's something good's happened, you know, but I think we really need to, you know, we need to sign some players. And I mean, there's rumour that Benteke, Van Aanholt and Townsend are fit for Saturday. So if we can get those back in the team, then I think, you know, we should have a reasonable side out.
Keith, we can't have you on without asking you how you're going to go against Sheffield United at the weekend. What do you think the score's going to be?
I think it's going to be a very, very tough game because they've got a good record. If we can improve a hell of a lot on the performance against Southampton, we've got a chance. But we need to you know, create chances, which in the Southampton game, I think we all know, we didn't create a chance. So we really need to start putting the ball in the back of the net. Hopefully a win, but I'm not confident.
Hopefully a win, but you're not confident. Come on, score prediction. Put your heart on your sleeve. Put your cards on the table.
2-1 to Palace.
Yeah, that's what we like to hear. Keith, thank you for joining the show. Keith from Purley. If you want to call Crystal Palace fans, if you want to get your voice heard on the radio, 0208 70 20 558 is our number. Call us or send us a message on WhatsApp. Let's talk about... Oh, you want to...
Yeah, I've just seen Palace have rejected free bids for PVA and it's looking unlikely because Rodriguez looks like he's going there. So they're, that rumour's being quashed a bit by... one of the major news people, so...
Well, that's good
Fingers
news.
Crossed.
That's very good
Fingers
news. Yeah. So it looks like he'll be available back in the side this weekend. Sheffield United at home, 3 o'clock on Saturday. It's a very, very difficult game. Sheffield United, I believe, have only lost to Liverpool and Manchester City on the road this season.
Yeah, I'm not confident at all. I mean, it's not the Southampton game in particular, but looking back at the Sheffield United game, I'm not going to forget this, I think, for the rest of the season. We got absolutely demolished in that game. In scoreline, it's only 1-0. But if you actually look at the performance, they outdone us in every aspect. It was just embarrassing to watch. I mean, they just came up in the Premier League and the football that they were playing in comparison to ours, it was shocking to watch.
They've done that to a lot of teams this season, including Tottenham, Arsenal, Manchester United. They've outplayed just about everybody, bar Man City and Liverpool. Nick, how do you see the game going?
It's hard to tell because Roy sets up the same all the time. We really need to come out of the box for a game and take a game rather than relying on waiting until the 75th minute to actually start playing.
Football,
and that's the hardest thing. We've got players coming back. Luca might be back. Hopefully he'll get a bit of fire back into the midfield, which would mean dropping McCarthy, I think.
You've not been that impressed with McCarthy this season,
yeah, but since he's been having a bit of a run, he's got better, apart from the game against Southampton, where, to be perfectly honest, I don't think anybody made a good show for themselves, did they?
Do you think he'll drop McCarthy? I thought he would drop maybe likes of Kouyaté for Luka. It seems like Roy trusts McCarthy.
Yeah, but Kouyaté's all over the pitch, and he's good at swapping roles sort of for a couple of minutes at a time. He's quite versatile. Kouyaté, and good at running forward with the ball, which Luka doesn't really do. So, you know, getting forward, I don't think Luka can do that as much.
I think getting Andros Townsend back, potentially another player who could come back, he's a massive boost because we need creativity going forward. We can't rely solely on Wilfried Zaha. We saw against Southampton, we've seen him many times this season. When you just focus on Wilfried Zaha, he will get outnumbered and he's not Superman to go out three or four players go past him. I know he does it once or twice, but you can't always expect him to do that. And then afterwards, as a fan base, we go and blame Wilfried Zaha for being outmanaged, basically, for us not using him properly. So having Andros Townsend back on the other side of the wing would be absolutely massive.
One of the things Andros Townsend does very well is when you're struggling to break a team down, he's never scared of having a shot. He'll come inside and he'll try something. He'll test the keeper out, which is why he scores so many screamers. Think about the one against Manchester City. And against a team as organised and well-drilled as the Sheffield United side, who do play expansive football, but they also don't concede many goals, he could be the difference.
Yeah, he could. And we've been talking about it as well. We're not creating many chances going forward. And yes, we have played some teams that are good, like Southampton. Yes, I don't think they were as good as we made them out to be, but they are still a good team recently. They've turned it around. However, getting the likes of Andrew Townsend, he is good going forward. But another thing is his work rate. It's absolutely fantastic, and he's a Roy type of player. He'll go back, he'll get the ball and he'll bring it forward. And in a game where Sheffield United, the way that they play with overlapping centre-backs, there might be some chances at the back open. Andrew Townsend could fit in that hole, and he has got that pace to go past them defenders and create more chances like that.
Patrick Van Aanholt and Benteke also available, it looks like, coming back into the side. You can't really see Benteke starting, but Patrick Van Aanholt could go back into the side despite Riedewald having such a good month.
If Roy does that, that would be the worst message to send to the players.
He's just got player of the month, Riedewald, exactly. And he's just getting into his stride. I'd push one of them further forward. Tosin being out, that would push Ayew back into a more central position, because he has been playing out on the left since Tosin came in. Mm. So it's almost like we've got we're overloaded.
I'm looking up Jordan Ayew as well. Why did I forget about him?
I'm looking up these Tosin injury rumours. I can't find anything to say that he's injured. It looks to me like he's available. So you would assume he would go into start. But would you say a front three of Zaha, Ayew and Townsend would be better?
It's a very good question. I sound bad, but I actually for a second forgot about Jordan Ayew.
How can you forget him?
No, exactly. I remember likes of McCarthy, but forget about Ayew. Oh, it's been a long day. But yeah, because I made my lineup, and at the back, I assume Joel Ward, he might be back. If he's not, then Martin Kelly will be at right back. But yeah, as a front three, if Ayew is fit, it seems like, where does Townsend fit in, or does he drop Ayew for Townsend?
Well, you've got to remember, players coming back from injury might not go straight into the starting lineup anyway, because you don't want to you don't want them to re-injure themselves by going too hard. I know there hasn't been a game at the weekend, but there was one last Wednesday, so you can't expect all of these players to go straight back into the team just because they, you know, we don't know if they're 100% fit or 75, 80, 90% fit.
In an ideal club, yes, but this is Palace and Roy Hodgson, and we've seen players who are not 100% fit playing for the team. I mean, Kouyaté wasn't fit for so long.
Because of injuries.
If they are fit, if they are fit to play, even if they're not 100%, I could see Roy putting the likes of Luka and maybe Townsend, because he trusts them players and he would rather them play than anyone else.
If Nathan Ferguson gets signed in the next day, do you see him going straight into the squad?
Yes, hopefully, but I just don't see him starting. I mean, maybe if Joel Ward isn't fit, then maybe he comes in instead of Martin Kelly. I would like to see that. But if Joel Ward is fit, I think we could see a bit of a playing game from Ferguson until Wardy messes up one or two games, then he'll get his opportunity.
The fact is, it's Wednesday now. If we sign him today because he's got his medical, he's got 2 days to see how we're playing, to kind of bond with the team and know what he's doing a little bit more. If it was a couple of days, if it was like Thursday or Friday, yeah, I couldn't see it happening.
Tosin, he signed, I think he signed on Friday, then he played on the Saturday, so
yeah.
Okay, excitingly, up next we're going to be talking to former Crystal Palace and Sheffield United manager Dave Bassett. I'm excited about this because he can give us both sides of the coin to preview this game at the weekend. Just coming up to 9:15, this is Love Sport.
Giving your team a voice, Love Sport Radio.
This is the Crystal Palace Fan Show on Love Sport Radio. Miles Blumsome here, joined by the Back of the Nest podcast team, Daya Kurnaz and Nick Gillard with us today. Joining us on the phone, former Sheffield United and Crystal Palace manager, Dave Bassett. Dave, welcome to the show. How are you?
Very good, Miles. You?
Yeah, really good, thank you. Are you looking forward to the game this weekend? Two of the clubs you've managed playing against each other. It must be a bit of a weird one for you.
Yeah, well, I've got a few clubs that meet when I have all come off the lunch. Watford, Leicester and Nottingham Forest, etc. Yeah, so, no, I'm going to the game and, both teams are in the Premier League, so, it'll be competitive. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
I just want to ask you about director of football. I mean, right now at Palace, we've got Dougie Friedman, director of football. It seems like he's handling transfers. How do you see it as a former manager of other players handling transfers, and how was it when you was managing?
Well, yeah, I mean, I know Dougie. He was a player when I was there, and he's an intelligent boy, and he had a stint of being a manager, and he now finds himself a director of football. I mean, most of my career, there wasn't director of footballs at all, as such. You know, the director of football's got to be done in the right way, in conjunction with the manager. I mean, I think the director of football should be sort of in between the two, not favouring, you know, seeing what's right for the club. So he recommends to the board, with his football experience, you know, what he thinks and what the manager wants. But at the same time, you know, he can't be bowing to the manager if it doesn't meet with the financial requirements, etc., or the overall running of the club. So, you know, and a lot of people don't like that. You know, a lot of managers in the past didn't want a director of football, but really now a lot of them call them sporting directors who get the players, and the managers actually coach them. So a lot of the time the manager doesn't always have the final say or an enormous amount of input. You know, it would vary, but a manager, in my opinion, has got to have the final say. It's no good a director of football signing a player with the sort of ability of the you know, the board as such, and forcing the manager to have that player if he doesn't want to.
Hello, Dave. Vinnick here. I've watched you all my life at Wimbledon and coming through. My dad used to take me to Wimbledon 1 week, Palace the next, so I kind of followed both clubs for a while. You were at Palace for 72 hours your first go. Now, you felt your heart wasn't in it. We're reading reports that Roy might be on his way if we don't get transfers. How does that feel as a manager? Because obviously sometimes you leave because you get the bullet, your team hasn't been performing well. It seems rare for a manager to leave of his own volition. What do you make of that?
Well, I mean, I just got promoted to the Championship, as it were, or League One, as it was at that, or sorry, the second division. And I had a good Wimbledon team. And Ron knows who I knew. I was instrumental in getting Ron to come to Wimbledon, which he did. And Ron always had this sort of feeling he wanted me to be the manager. And we just got promoted. And Ron, you know, convinced me for a period that, you know, it was time to move on. You know, Palace were a bigger club, bigger crowds, bigger budget, etc. And he wanted it. And he was very persuasive. And I liked Ron, you know. And it just seemed as, you know, had I taken Wimbledon as far as I could. And, you know, really, to be quite honest, any other club I wouldn't have even considered. I would have stayed at Wimbledon. But, you know, somehow I got sucked into it and thought, yes, perhaps he's right. But when I made the decision and agreed to go, you know, the next day I realised, no, I didn't want to do it. I was awake all night. I thought, no, I've got a better team at Wimbledon at this moment. I think we've got something going special at Wimbledon. And I rang Ron and told him. And, of course, the press went for Ron. They thought he'd done something and tucked me out or whatever it was. That wasn't the case, you know, at all. He handled it very well. You know, he was disappointed, but he understood where I was coming from. And he obviously didn't want me to come if I wouldn't have got my whole heart in it at all, you know, as such. So, you know, so I respected him for that and, you know, then stayed at Wimbledon.
As it was, it kind of led to a brand new young manager coming through to cut his teeth, a certain Mr. Steve Coppell. So it wasn't all bad for us in the end. But then you came back to us.
It turned out a good move because, you know, at that stage, it was good for me. I stayed at Wimbledon. We got, you know, 2 years later, we got promoted to the top league, and I stayed in the top league with Wimbledon. And Steve, you know, started his excellent run with the Crystal Palace.
Yeah, just looking ahead to the game on a weekend between Palace and Sheffield United, just what's your overall thoughts on Palace this season? It seems like we have been getting the results, but fans have been upset with the performances. And also, I mean, you look at Sheffield United, another team, but they have a completely different philosophy, overlapping centre-backs, which sounds crazy. So what's your thoughts on the game on a weekend?
Well, I think it'd be very tight. I mean, Sheffield United have conceded very little goals. Palace don't concede lots of goals. Sheffield United have perhaps scored a bit more goals than Palace. Palace's problem, you know, for a few seasons now, has been scoring goals. And Roy's very good at the defensive setup with what he does. He's an experienced manager. And Palace are very hard to play against. They're well organised. They're disciplined on what they do. And they cause problems to a lot of teams. You know, it's not an easy game. But of course, the problem is with Palace, they don't have this prolific goal scorer that can make the hell of a difference. They've got one or two people that can weigh in, but it's not on a consistent basis. Hence, you know, if they lose, they don't lose heavily. If they win, they don't win heavily either. And a lot of the times it's draws. And Sheffield United are a little bit like that. They're a bit more attacking. They're, you know, Chris Wilder's got them defensively well organised. A lot of the clubs don't seem to be able to cope with the way Sheffield United play and seem to find it difficult. And so they've done extremely well. And their away record is terrific, only having lost to Liverpool and Man City, which is saying something. But I think it'll be a very tight game. I mean, early in the season, I saw it on the television, but Sheffield United won 1-0, and deservedly so, because, you know, Palace's attacking instincts in that game and attacking was very poor. But they've improved since then. So, I mean, I think it's going to be a tight game. I think, you know, I mean, if you ask me, I think it's got a draw written all over it.
The player who should have that attacking impetus for Crystal Palace is Wilfred Zaha, being valued at £80 million by the club. Sort of fallen off a bit this season. Do you think that might be because he wanted to leave in the summer? Is it hard for him to get re-motivated to play for a club that he might not necessarily want to be at?
Yeah, well, I think it's very difficult. You know, he wanted to go. He obviously didn't, and he was obviously upset. And that affects a player for a while. I mean, he seemed to bounce back and have some decent form towards the end of the year. You know, so I think his form in the early part of the season was not up to what he normally can provide. And I think that was down due to the fact that he didn't get the move. I think he decided he wanted to leave Palace, and Palace obviously didn't want him to leave and then sell him Wan-Bissaka. You know, the money pressure wasn't on them in that respect, and Roy obviously wanted to keep Zaha because, you know, it's not easy with him going. How much money is he going to get? Where is he going to get a striker from that can do what Zaha goes? I mean, as I say again, Palace to some extent, you know, have not gone on in the last couple of seasons in spending more money. I mean, I would have been thought that this window, they would have been looking to look to bring some goal scorer in as such. I mean, Sheffield United are doing a bit of transfer activity in that department, and the Palace seem reluctant to do it. Have they got the money? I don't know the answer. I would think they've got a fair bit of money. You know, in the circumstances, Roy has kept Palace afloat with his organisation and what he's capable of doing, without any effect on the top six in any way whatsoever. But obviously, that's probably good news to the board of directors, who think, well, Roy Hodgson can keep us up.
Do you think the Palace have a chance of winning this weekend? Where can they exploit any weaknesses in this Sheffield United team?
Well, I mean, it's when they get the chances. You know, there's always a couple of chances in the game. You know, it's not easy to exploit because Sheffield United work extremely hard. They're fit, they're strong, their system is good, their organisation is good on set plays, defending and attacking. It's when, if Palace get the breaks on the counter-attacks, whether they can be clinical enough to do it. I don't think it's going to be easy for Palace to create a lot of chances against Sheffield United. But at the same context, I don't think Sheffield United will be swarming all over Palace, creating lots of chances either.
Dave, well, I could talk to you all night, but yeah, Unfortunately we run out of time. Dave Bassett there, sorry, the former Sheffield United and Crystal Palace manager. Thank you so much for joining the show. Before we finish, guys, DR, score prediction for the weekend.
I think I'm not really confident, in all honesty, based on what happened last game. I see it, Sheffield United win, a 2-1 Sheffield United win.
Nick?
We are due to stuff somebody. And I just hope that it's this weekend.
How far due?
We do it once a season. I think we can win 4-0. And I'd love to just see 4-0 would be fantastic.
That is absolutely huge. I'm going to be, unfortunately, going the same way as DR. Just the way I've seen Sheffield United play this season, I'm going to have to say a 1-0 Sheffield United win.
4-0.
4-0 is a great shout. And if that happens, I'd stick a cheeky four.
Reality's going to hit you hard on Saturday when you come out and have zero shots on target.
Or if it's 5-0, we can say you weren't positive enough.
Exactly.
How different would that Southampton game have been had Tosin put that one-on-one away rather than shooting too early? I mean, Dave Bassett's talking about being clinical. All we need is to get an early chance and get that and make sure we don't sit behind the ball. If Roy can come out the block, and go at them, I think we've got a chance.
You just need one to come off his bum. That's all you need to happen. Just to start with early doors, and then you can make a Sheffield United come out of you and you can get in behind them. That was the Crystal Palace Fan Show. Thank you very much to the guys from the Back of the Nest podcast, DR Kernaz and Nick Gillard. I'm Miles Blumsome. Up next, we're going to be doing the Fulham Fan Show. We did the Charlton Fan Show before. They drew 0-0 last week. We'll talk the other side of that. In the League Cup semi-final, still Man United beating Man City 1-0 at the Etihad, but Man City leading 3-2 on aggregate, and Liverpool still beating West Ham 1-0 at the London Stadium, a Mo Salah penalty being the difference between the sides. We're coming up towards 9 o'clock. This is Love Sport Radio.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.